Welcome back to Relentless, a podcast about the pursuit of far-fetched ideas, unusual aspirations, or that perfect pair of sneakers. I'm the host, Maddie Russell Shapiro. Relentless puts motivation under a microscope to investigate why certain people choose to spend their limited time and resources on a specific project. In this episode, I continue my exploration of ethical business decisions in fashion at the New York City menswear brand Noah. This is the third episode in the series, and I suggest you listen to these episodes in order, starting with episode one. Noah's website archives a growing collection of blog posts, many written in the first person by founder Brendan Babenzien. These posts educate readers about the wide variety of concerns central to Noah. An entire section devoted to fabric descriptions, multiple posts about production details, celebrations of design inspirations, information about conservancy efforts to protect the ocean and marine life. It's also the place where the NOAA team acknowledges shortcomings. Because, despite its best intentions, despite its desire to produce and sell clothes in alignment with an ethical checklist, NOAA does not yet have everything figured out. One pain point for the team?
The packaging issue is one of the biggest issues that we're still dealing with.
Packaging. This came up in nearly every interview I conducted with employees at NOAA, those working in sales, design, operations, including Jasmine Young, who was the operations manager.
In general, we're trying to limit the amount of packaging that we use. It's just, honestly, it's just waste. After you open the package up, it literally goes in the trash.
It's a legit problem to be concerned about, because in this internet era, the rise of online shopping means a lot more items being shipped individually. And shipping means packaging, boxes, often boxes within boxes, bubble wrap to protect the contents of the boxes, used once and then discarded, mostly to landfill. Corey Rubin was an early member of the NOAA team.
I heard there was a pop-up happening where there was a bowl to skate inside. And I was like, that's incredible. I'll go. So I show up there. I walk in. Brendan's got this his Greek fisherman hat on, like this crazy practice stripe shirt and like loafers. And I'm just like, God, this dude is wild. And I hadn't seen Brendan in some time, but we kind of knew each other. I'm skating the bowl, having a blast. There's all sorts of different people at this pop-up event, which was nice to see a bunch of different people all together. And then towards the end of the party, I just went over to thank Brendan and be like, hey, this is a lot of fun, this, that, and the other. He's like, yeah, roll through to the shop when it's up. It should be up in a couple months. And then the more I found out about it, I was like, oh, I want to work there.
When he started,
we were shipping everything in bubble mailers. The bubble mailers are petroleum-based. They were nice and clean looking and did a good job of protecting the goods getting from one place to another, but there was alternatives to use some paper stuff. And in this thinking, I was like, well, it's a lesser evil.
A lesser evil because paper can be renewable. It's not made from a finite resource that may eventually be fully depleted like the oil needed to make plastic mailers. And paper can be recycled. So Corey advocated for a switch to paper mailers. Customers were not thrilled with the undifferentiated presentation. And then there was a technical problem.
The problem with those mailers in their formal appearance is that they're craft paper, and to a lot of people that's not the most appealing. And the fact that we chose a padded mailer to make sure things are safe, it's filled with a bunch of recycled paper. So if you open it up incorrectly, you just get little fuzz balls all over the place.
The fuzz balls are the padding that is contained between an inner and outer layer of paper. In theory, by pulling the tab lengthwise, it rips through all three layers, revealing the contents of the package. But often, only the top layer pulls open, and the padding contents tumble out, making a mess. So customers were complaining about the informal look of the paper mailer, and they didn't like the mess when the envelope wasn't opened properly. These days, packaging is an integral part of online shopping, and NOAA was not meeting expectations. Here's Jasmine again.
Yeah, have you ever seen those videos online where people do the unpackaging videos, right? We've had people write in and say we want an excellent unpackaging experience, and they'll send us examples of it. That is amazing for the 15 seconds that it's on Instagram, what happens to those materials afterwards, right? But also keeping in mind that people are buying a product, they're buying into a brand, and it means something to them. And so they do deserve to have an enjoyable experience. So trying to figure out what that looks like in a way that still makes sense to us and holds true to Noah's values, but also the customer is a part of Noah's values. So trying to find that balance, I think, constantly.
To be clear, I'm not suggesting that everyone listening will find these kinds of complaints to be reasonable or relatable. And I'm pretty sure that even people who love unwrapping a beautiful box would acknowledge that lackluster packaging is not a truly meaningful problem, not on the same order as the exploitation of garment workers, nor the degradation of oceans from plastic pollution. But in a world where social media and the internet provide customers with an easy way to provide feedback, more and more of them are taking the opportunity to do so. Perhaps those of us who want to see better production standards should take note about how to get a company's attention. Chief Operating Officer Bo Wallens provides a broader operations perspective.
As it turns out, once you start to get into some of these higher price points, it's not really all about quality, right? Like, to the consumer, it's about presentation. It's about brand perception. And we started to look into a bunch of different recycled paper and recycled plastic boxes, customized tissue papers, and we ordered a bunch of different stuff online for some different brands to see how they pack their stuff. I guess the general disposition that people were having when they opened these packages is that we don't care that they've just invested a large sum of money with us.
Despite researching the competition, Noah didn't want to abandon its decision to use minimal packaging that could be recycled.
This just doesn't make sense for us. But at the same time, we need to make sure the customers know that there's intent here. So we started putting a mailer inside the packages.
Thank you for becoming part of the Noah community. Please note that our lack of fancy packaging is intentional. It's one of the ways we're trying to minimize our environmental impact. We have absolute faith in the quality and details of what we make.
But yeah, that started off with an argument between Brendan and I where he just couldn't wrap his head around it originally. But I was like, we don't get to just ignore this. You know, like, people are writing in, this is an issue. And he'd like, so one way or another, it's got to be addressed, whether we do something or don't do something.
A long discussion ensued between the two of them.
This long discussion that I was having with Brendan about these $600 and $1,000 suits that we're starting to make, jackets, suit jackets. And they're made of this amazing, you know, cashmere wool blends and made in Italy at this amazing suit maker and are essentially the same quality as a lot of the suits that you're seeing in retail stores for $2,000 or $3,000. Ours are not that expensive. They're between $568 up until $1,200, depending. But essentially folding them up and putting them into craft mailer bags and shipping them out to people. And some of the responses that we got back from customers are like, is this a joke? Like, I just spent, you know, $600 on this jacket and you're sending it to me in a craft mailer?
The resolution? There's the postcard included with orders to new customers. And in addition, as Jasmine explains,
we actually did a blog post talking about packaging, and the blog post was called Our Packaging Sucks. And it really was trying to let the consumer know, like, hey, this is what we're dealing with. We want to be environmentally conscious. However, there are things that you expect as a customer, which are perfectly fine. We're trying to find the balance.
Dated May 22nd, 2017, the post clearly, concisely describes the conundrum, concluding, the question becomes, how much more are we willing to contribute to the world's throwaway culture to honor the fact that you've bought something we've made? It's not easy for us. We are extremely grateful to anyone who supports what we do. Personally, I'm a fan of this resolution. I applaud Noah for sticking to its ideals. I wish more companies would prioritize environmental concerns with their packaging, both in-store and online. Did communicating directly to customers make a difference? Bo reports,
we got an overwhelmingly positive response from that. People just really connected with the transparency. That felt really good.
The Noah team regularly posts detailed missives like that one, explaining their decisions and challenges, taking themselves to task for ways in which they still aspire to do better. And there is seemingly always more to do. For example,
an ongoing issue is the poly bags in which our garments are packed in and shipped in for protection. They're kind of like the bane of my existence here.
That's designer Corey Rubin again.
Each individual garment wrapped up in a poly bag. It's just an industry standard to protect goods from factory all the way to customer and like all of the stops that it makes, whether it be like the store, the warehouse, protects the goods so they don't go to waste. But in that process, it creates an unseemly amount of plastic.
Single-use plastic. There isn't much you, the customer, can do with one of those clear protective bags to reuse it. And in many parts of the U.S., it isn't easy or possible to recycle soft plastic. Shopping in-store doesn't make a difference. When you buy something in the Noah shop or any other store, you may not be given the item in a plastic bag, but rest assured, it was packaged in one before it was handed over to you. Sometimes I interviewed members of the Noah team in the basement of the shop, surrounded by shelves of inventory, piles of colorful sweatshirts and rugby shirts and corduroy pants, each and every item in its own clear plastic bag. So, what to do? Corey is on the hunt for an alternative.
If I can find a plastic that comes from a renewable resource, in my mind that was a slight improvement. So, is there any bag that could be home compostable? Wouldn't it be great if you bought a t-shirt from us and you're able to use that poly bag to maybe hold like your vegetables that you're discarding for compost, and or you could use it in your own backyard compost if you have one. Worst case scenario, like if it does go to a landfill, it decomposes.
Despite sustainability's trendiness, finding a viable alternative has proven difficult. COO Bo, again.
The fully recyclable plastic poly bags. We found one company that did it, but the minimums were like 50,000. And then beyond that, we really needed to have four different sizes. And then beyond that, if we wanted to print on them, we could only print on them in one color. And then we found another one where we were going to do it, but the operational component of getting all of the bags to all of our different suppliers, because we manufacture with like 20 different factories in 6 different countries, it just operationally seemed like a disaster. So right now the majority of our manufacturers just pack in whatever they have at their factory. So getting our own custom poly bags to them required another step, which in the future, again, I think will be feasible, but just is not. It's just not a realistic thing for us today with the size of the team that we have. We found another company that does biodegradable poly bags, but then we found out that their shelf life is only 3 to 6 months. So I'm not sure what happens to the bags after those 3 to 6 months, but that also didn't necessarily sound like a viable option.
The bag has to meet multiple criteria. It has to be translucent. It has to be durable. It has to be printable. It has to be cost effective. And for Noah, it has to be available in quantities that are small enough. Recently, Bo found a promising sample that Corey showed me.
What are these new poly bags made out of?
Corn. Corn.
And they're truly translucent?
Yeah, I brought some.
Awesome.
So you'll feel it. It feels almost like a silky garbage bag. But at one point, we were considering cellophane. Like, sometimes you buy baked goods in it, and it was so loud. It was like a Sun Chips bag. You know how they're notorious for being, like, just wildly inappropriate loud? I ate a bag of Sun Chips at a movie theater, and someone yelled at me once. That's why I'm saying that. And so now it's like, if I ever do that, I have to make sure I'm in the right place. But it feels like a silky garbage bag.
The team at Noah is genuine in these environmental and social efforts. Nonetheless, Brendan pushes back against accolades.
People put us in this sustainable fashion thing all the time, and we're definitely not that. There's no such thing. We're not even close. We're not even in the realm of sustainable. Ethical, maybe. I could see ethical being applied because we definitely have some serious ethics, and we stick to them, and we try and do the right thing as often as possible. But sustainable, definitely not. That's insane. The only reason we would be even considered in the conversation of sustainability is, one, people don't know what the hell they're talking about, and they just throw the word around a lot now. Or two, the idea that making a better product and educating consumers about keeping it longer and using it longer and buying less crap is fundamentally a sustainable idea.
Acting ethically and responsibly. Those are the goalposts Brendan set and that Noah declares publicly. Another blog post, this one from February 15th, 2018, begins, "We need to set the record straight. Noah is not a sustainable company. But that stance, that admission, that attitude is a starting point, not a finish line. Behind that statement is all the very real work Noah is doing every day to behave ethically and responsibly towards people and towards the planet.
We'll be as big as we can be until we have to start making decisions we don't believe in. And once that happens, that's the ceiling. We don't grow until we find a way to grow and still be proud of our decisions.
Those standards apply to design, to manufacturing, to sales and shipping. They apply to what we as customers can see and experience, as well as everything else that happens behind the scenes in the office, at the warehouse, and in factories across the country and around the world. I asked Brendan, are you the kind of consumer you want other people to be?
When it comes to products, I am. So when it comes to like clothing, I am definitely the type of consumer I wish others were. I don't really buy that much stuff. I wear a lot of old stuff. I buy secondhand. I wear our stuff. And I try and buy better products and just keep them for a long time. I keep it to the classics, which makes me an outcast in our industry because I don't wear any of the latest and greatest shit. If I go to a party, I don't have on the latest sneaker or the latest brand. I have no idea how I'm viewed by the rest of the people in the industry. They might think I'm a total dork. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really care what the fashion world thinks. I care what other people think that are doing interesting things. Really creative people, be a painter, a writer, a musician, whether they be a biologist or a runner or whatever. Where I fail miserably as a consumer is in food. I'm terrible with food. Like, I don't eat well. I eat meat, and meat's a disaster for the environment. I order a lot of food. I don't make a lot of my own food. And, you know, that's because I just grew up a certain way, you know? And, like, I didn't really grow up with a great education about healthy eating.
Terrible with food, but leading the way with clothes and clothing design.
For better or for worse, this is all I know how to do. Been in this in some form since I was 13 years old, you know? I started in retail and then just moved right into clothing. I do love doing this. I do think there's a unique opportunity today in the world that we live in where, because of the power and the influence of style, and for lack of a better word, fashion, that you can get a lot of ideas into the conversation.
And there is plenty to discuss. Consumerism, quality, cost, and numerous pressing social and environmental issues. Noah participates in a growing retail trend of releasing new items in batches over the course of a season, rather than the entire new line all at once. I asked if that was an intentional way to grow demand by limiting supply. COO Bo acknowledged that it might be an outcome.
When you talk about being environmentally responsible, for us, we just always prefer to undersell what we might potentially be able to sell in order to not be left with more product.
I'd argue that one thing weekly releases do, inadvertently perhaps, is slow down the pace of purchase. It gives you time to consider what you want, to weigh options, to budget. Mindfulness over impulsiveness also happens to be a way to build brand loyalty.
I don't really go shopping in the sense of just like looking for things. You know, I find these brands that make good products and that have good values, and then I seek pieces out from them.
On the next episode of Relentless, Noah's commitment to giving back.
I wake up, I read the news, and there's 15 things I read about that I want to do something about, and I can't. So I get really frustrated.
And the role of price in the conversation about sustainability.
You take something as silly as our socks. They're $24. That's an expensive sock. But I will put our sock up against any fucking white sock in the world for that price.
Last week, we encouraged you to learn more about the working conditions in the countries where your clothes are made. Was the information easy to find? What did you learn? This week, your assignment is to identify ways you can create less waste as a shopper. What were the last two things you had delivered by mail? What was the packaging? What did you do with it? Could the packaging have been less? Could it be reused? Use social media to let the company know what you think. On our website, therelentless.org, we've posted information about waste in the fabrication and sale of garments, and some tips for the most environmental ways to dispose of clothes. Share your ideas with us on Instagram at The Relentless Podcast. Relentless is produced by me, Maddie Russell Shapiro, and is recorded at Bright Young Things with the help of Dan Navetta. Editors for this episode were Eve Austin and Sarah Holtz. Music for Relentless is provided by Building Beats, an innovative nonprofit that teaches young people in New York City schools how to DJ and make music. Today's music was produced by DJ Cali, BSN Yeah, DJ Synchro, and students at the Bronx Charter School for the Arts. If you like the music, if you like the show, please consider supporting Building Beats. Everything you need to know about the show and this series is available on our website, therelentless.org. Subscribe to the podcast through your listening app so you don't miss the rest of the season, and come back for the next episode.